Okay, we're in the Gemara Sota, Mem Dalet Amid Aleph, 45a. And now the Gemara continues an opinion that against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that only members of the Sanhedrin, the high court, can go and measure and deal with the person that died with the idea of the Egla Rufa. That's what our Mishnah says. So the Gemara now says, you should know, Masnisin Delo K'Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. Our Mishnah, which does not state that the king and kohen gadol have to be there, our Mishnah just says the Sanhedrin has to be there, is not in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. D'tanya, for we're learning a brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov Omer, he says that when it says the word Zikeinecha, your elders, yes, Zu Sanhedrin. I agree, that is the Sanhedrin. And that's what he's going to say. Elders always means the Sanhedrin. And that seems to be different than the way the others learn it. But now the word Shoftecha, when it says your judges, Zemelech v'Kohen Gadol. That's the king and the Kohen Gadol. So now we've got everybody taking part of this, not just the Sanhedrin. We thought that was great enough to make a big deal, but now we got the king and the Kohen Gadol. How do we know this? How do we know that from the word Shoftecha, your judges? Well, the other verses that show us that a king is called a judge and that a Kohen Gadol is called a judge. Melech by a king, Dichsiv, it says in a pasuk, Melech b'mishpat ya'amid oretz. It says, the king through justice, and mishpat is the word shofet, through justice establishes the land. So you see that a king is one that is mishpatecha shofet. Kohen Gadol, what about Kohen Gadol? Dichsiv, it says over there, Ubasa el kohanim alavim, you go to the kohanim and the levim, vel hashofet, and to the judge, that what asher yiyeh, that will be before you. Now, so this pasuk, and your judge, teaches that both the king and the Kohen Gadol must be present for the measurement.
The Kohen Gadol doesn't come out from that too well.
Now let's see what he says. The verse implies that the judge of which it speaks is the one appointed to judge the Kohanim. That's what implies. It says you go to the Kohanim Levivim and the Shofet. Who's the Shofet? It's the Shofet, the judge over the Kohanim and the Levivim. All right. Who else is going to be the Shofet? Right. So okay, fine. So that's the Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov. So now the question is, does Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov disagree totally with the Mishnah to say it's the king and the Kohen Gadol and not the Sanhedrin? Or is he saying in addition to the Mishnah, that in addition to the Sanhedrin, it's the king and the Kohen Gadol? That's the next question to Gemara. Ibailo Gemara is a Shiloh. Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov, b'melech v'Kohen Gadol, who the poly? Does Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov argue only in regard to the fact that you also have to have a king and a Kohen Gadol to be there for the measurement? Aval b'Sanhedrin, when it regards to the Sanhedrin, he can go either way according to the Mishnah. Ikur Rabbi Yehuda, if it's like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you have to have five, or Kerib Shimon, Sfirler Lerkib Shimon, that you could have three, but he agrees that you have to have some. So how far is the machlokas? Is it a total machlokas? These, yes, and not this at all? Or no, in addition to the Sanhedrin, the king and the Kohen Gadol. That is, so Iker of Shimon Sfirler, does he hold? So, Odilma, or maybe the Sanhedrin Nadipal. He argues that you don't even need to have a Sanhedrin at all. Or maybe to the numbers of Sanhedrin. How do we know? Maybe he goes so far, maybe at the Ikakula Sanhedrin. Maybe the whole Sanhedrin has to come. So we don't know what he's saying about Sanhedrin. Does he just agree with them? Or no, the whole Sanhedrin. So that's the Shiloh. What will be the opinion of Reb Eliezer Ben Yaakov? It's clear Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda gave a specific number of people from the Sanhedrin. And they deduced it from the Psukim, as we said. Zikeinecha is plural. Shoftecha could be, or vit shoftecha, whatever. So, what does he say regarding the Sanhedrin? That's what we have to prove now. What is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in that position? So, Amar Rabbi Yosef says, Toshma, come and hear the following brisa. Now, this braisa is going to deal with a different topic, totally different topic in the beginning, and that's the topic called the Zokein Mamre. A Zokein Mamre is a great Talmud scholar, and can hold his own, who, when the Sanhedrin makes a ruling, he says, I disagree. I'm going to not like you guys. Now, that is not allowed at all. And we do not treat him very nicely. We kill him. That's a Zokein. You know, you just can't mouth off your opinions, you know. If the Sanhedrin says this is the way it is, this is the way it is. Now, if a person is totally ignorant mouths off, well, nobody cares what ignorant people say. It doesn't carry any weight. Then a big rabbi, whatever, he's not, whatever, he says, oh, I'm going to do different than you guys. That's called a Zokein Mamre, a rebellious elder. So now, we're going to see what happens over there, and we'll be able to deduce what's going on over here. Let's see. There's a lot of rules over here. So they say this: Mitzon Zokein Mamre Abe Pagi Vimerlin. If the rebellious sage found the Sanhedrin at a place called Beis Pagi, and he got that's not in the temple area, because usually the Sanhedrin issues their rulings in the temple area. But if they do it outside of them, we'll see what Beis Pagi is in a minute. And then he rebelled against them. We'll see what's going to happen there. So we can skip 11. I explained all that. 12. What's the Beis Pagi? The place of the animal's head stall. Okay? The part of the bridle that fits over the animal's head. This refers to any place within the outer wall of Yerushalayim. Okay? In other words, areas outside the original wall of the city that were later annexed and surrounded by another wall. Although these areas were later additions to the city, they're considered part of Jerusalem. Okay, now, what's the story? Upon returning to his city, he got the ruling there, and then he goes back to the city, continues to rule as he had before going to ask the Senate and reading their ruling, therefore rebelling. In other words, he felt it was a certain way, was halacha. Well, he was challenged. He says, okay, you're going to have to go to the Sanhedrin. Go to the Sanhedrin, and says, sorry, Mac, you're wrong. What does he do? Okay, thank you. Goes back, continues to rule as he wants to rule. Right? And where did they find him? That's the point. They found him in the Beis Pagi, right? That means the outer wall of Jerusalem, okay? Outside of Jerusalem. So now, he didn't hear the ruling in the court of hewn stones in the Beis HaMikdash. It's outside the Beis HaMikdash. So now the question is that rebellion considered a big enough rebellion because he didn't see them in their place in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Braisa says, Yochelte, I might think, Hamra so Hamra, his rebellion is still considered rebellion, and therefore he gets the death penalty. No, Talmud Lomar, when the Pasuk talks about a Zokein, it says, Fekamta v'olisa el hamakom. The Torah says regarding this rebellious sage, it says, if the matter of judgment will be hidden from you, you shall arise and go up to the place that Hashem, your God, chose. Okay, now that's the beginning of this topic. So that, where's the place that God chose? That's the Beis HaMikdash. And then you're going to have the whole Indian. You go now, it's talking about you're not sure what the law is. Go to the Beis HaMikdash, the rabbis, they tell you the law. Then it tells us, but if a person doesn't want to listen to the law, But it starts out with the context. You have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. That's important. Malame, that teaches us. It's not just the fact you rebelled against the Sanhedrin, but it also teaches us, Malame Shamakom Goreim, the place also causes. In other words, if the Sanhedrin said the thing and he didn't listen, it's not just he didn't listen to the Sanhedrin, it must be the Sanhedrin in the Beis HaMikdash. It is when the Sanhedrin issued their ruling in the place where they usually convene, which is in the temple, the rebellion then is considered a capital offense. Rebellion against a ruling issued any place else does not carry the death penalty. Clear. The place implies a specific place, the place set aside for judgment, which is the chamber of hewn stone, which is in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that's clear. So now, let's think for a minute. What's exactly going on over here? The Bryce is saying, for a Zokein Mamre to be punished with a capital offense, he will have had to have gone to the Sanhedrin when they're sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's only when. But anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the entire Sanhedrin, so let's say the entire Sanhedrin was anywhere outside of Yerushalayim, or even outside the Beis HaMikdash, and he would rule against them, then he does not get punished. Now, there's a simple question. When would you ever have the entire Sanhedrin not be in their Beis HaMikdash? You know, because, you know, they should be pretty busy over there, and that's going to be the discussion. The Gemara, I'll just tell you where this will eventually take us to, but we'll take a little while to get there. The Gemara is going to say, you know what? There must be, you know why they all went out? They all went out to do a case of Egla Rufa for the guy who got killed on the road. That's a case where the whole Sanhedrin would leave. That, you know, so it shows that must be that this Rabbi Ben Yaakov, he argues not three, not five, 71. All 71. Because otherwise, where else would you have a, you have to have a case where a rebellious sage, that's going to be the answer. You're already saying the answer. Okay, already got the next 15 minutes of the Gemara. That's good, it's good. At least you know what's. So now we're going to see. You have to go and measure. You got to remember. You got to go there. We have to make a big deal about it. People in the city have to see all the big dignitaries. They'll look and maybe they'll find the guy who's guilty. All that. Anyway, it's going to take a while till we get to what we've just said. But that's the direction this is going. So now the Gemara is analyzing. Denufik kama. So now, how many members went out to this base pagi to make this ruling that the guy says okay, mamre? How many went out that we say? So, Elema, if you're going to say the Nafak Miksosin, if you're only going to say that some of them went out, then certainly we couldn't execute him. We couldn't. Because Dilma, Hanach, the Ika, Gavoy, Kavasei, let's put it this way. Let's say half of them go out. Yeah? And he goes up and says, listen, tell me, what's the ruling? Not like you, Buster. Okay. Now he says, I'm not going to listen to you. Well, we can't punish him. You know why? Because maybe the other half, who are in the base, would go agree like him. So it can't be that they're not all there. Dilma Hanach Deika Bagavoy, maybe the ones that are inside the Beis HaMikdash, Kavaseisvi, hold like him. So that can't be. That can't even be suggested. Ella, Pshit, it's obvious what has to be the case. The Nafaku, they all went out. They had to all go out. The only way you can begin to say that a Zaken Mamre is going against the Sanhedrin is he was in discussion with the entire Sanhedrin. Everybody, the whole Sanhedrin gets together, we don't hold like you, buddy. Now you're going against us. But if it's not all of them, he's going to say, wait a minute, maybe the other ones would be like me. And maybe, and they would argue with you, even if it was a minority. But if they have an opinion like me, then they can argue with you, they can maybe prove their case. Right? So obviously the only way we could say this brisa, that when the Sanhedrin is outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's, when they all went outside. So now comes the question, ulama. Now why would they all go out? What could be so important that the entire Sanhedrin should go out? If it was for something optional, you know, let's say go to the Westmont Shul dinner, you know, okay, they'll send one, they'll send two. I mean, whatever, an optional thing. They're not going to do that. Mi motze nafki, can they all go out for something optional? There's a pasuk that would show you couldn't. V'hoksiv, it says, shorereich agan hasar al yechsar hamozek. It says about Sanhedrin, your navel is like a moon-shaped basin. Let not the strength of the blend be lacking. That's the shir hashirim. What does that mean? The verse refers to the blend of wine and water. The wines of ancient times were very strong and hard to be diluted before drink. Had to be. The standard dilution ratio was two parts water to one part wine. So therefore it says, let not the blend be lacking. So that means, do not dilute your wine so heavily that less than one third of the mixture is wine. If you dilute too much, there's nothing there. Gemara interprets the verse allegory as referring to the great Sanhedrin. Shorereich, your navel. Navel, where's the navel? Right in the middle of the body. So where is the Beis HaMikdash? Center of the universe. The Beis HaMikdash is the center of the universe, if whatever the geographers like or not. Shorereich refers to the chamber of hewn stone, which is called the navel. Okay, Agan Sar, the moon-shaped basin, refers to Sanhedrin because they sit in a semicircle. In a semicircle, so they all see each other. Let not the blend be lacking means make sure that at least one third of the Sanhedrin, means 23 of the 71, is always present. Always had to have 23. All the time. You could, so how are they all out? If you're going to say it's just an optional thing, how could you let them all go out? right? And they give it, and they, it continues the halacha. And this is what we learned. This teaching, if one of them has to leave, they still leave. Whatever it is, a personal, listen, it can't be there forever. He has some personal business to attend to. He can only leave if only there's at least 23 left, at least equals the size of a small Sanhedrin. The great Sanhedrin can never have less than 23 people. And if you don't have 23 behind, and he can't leave. So clearly, how do you have the whole Sanhedrin leaving? You always have to have 23. Well, it can't be for option. If they all have a business appointment that day, too bad. Or they'll have a doctor's appointment, too bad. You got to leave 23. So when would it be possible that the Brisa said if they all went out and he rebelled against them? When is that? Must be. Elapshi, the only way they could ever leave is Lidvar Mitzvah. Has to be for a mitzvah that they'd have to do in their capacity as a Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin has certain mitzvahs they have to do. And let's say there's a mitzvah they all would have to do, and therefore they all would have to leave. Now, what kind of mitzvah could that be? What do you think? Lamai, what could that be for they would all leave? Lav, wouldn't we say it was for Lemedidas Egla, to make the measurement for this Egla Arufa? And therefore this price is very good for Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And that's a proof to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's opinion that what? That must be, he holds that you must take the entire, we're not sure what he holds. But this must be a very good proof, because what else could you all have to leave for? Where you have, we know they all do leave for something, because we said there's a case of Zaken Mamre goes against Sanhedrin outside of their place, and the only way it can be a Zaken Mamre is they all leave, and we say he doesn't get killed, but obviously there is such a scenario. So it must be Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds this. Right? Rav Yosef attributes the ruling this bris to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because he's the only one of the three tonight who discusses the presence of judges at the measuring. Rav Shimon Yehuda are the other two, but they already told us 3 and 5, whose statement can be interpreted as requiring, but him, he didn't give us a number. So therefore, maybe it's all of them, and that's what it must be. Now, the only way they can answer is, who said? You said? Maybe it's for something else. Maybe for something else. That's more of an answer. Well, maybe for something else. Amale Abaye. Abaye says, no, it doesn't have to be only, you think it's only could be to go out and measure? No. Dilma, perhaps, is another thing. Lahosif ala ir valazaros. They're needed to expand to the city of Yerushalayim and the courtyards of the temple. What's going on? Let's say the city of Yerushalayim has a certain boundary. The courtyards in the basement have certain boundaries. But what if the population grows so much they have to expand the boundary? So expanding the limits of the temple courtyards or of Yerushalayim entailed consecrating the added areas to the same degree of sanctity as the original areas. He's saying, well, the area is too small. Well, you just can't say, go to the zoning officials and change the zoning. You have to have the Sanhedrin HaGadol with the power of Torah, and the way they analyze it is to say, we are now, with our power, sanctifying these areas. For this reason, a formal ritual of sanctification was necessary, which required the presence of the entire Great Sanhedrin. Thus, whenever land was added to Yerushalayim, the entire Great Sanhedrin would leave the chamber of hewn stone. Is it ever possible for the rebellious sages to have found them all at the base pagi over there? Okay, so that would be, and how do we know this? How do we know this could be? Okay, it's not, as we learned in the Mishnah, this very fact. The Mishnah says, in Sanhedrin, it says, Ein mosif al eir v'azaros, you may not increase to the city limits or the courtyard limits, ella except bebezdin shoshim v'echad, with a court of 71. So therefore, what do we see? No proof. No proof that he holds they all have to go out. We have not resolved that issue. Well, Tanya, now we're going to give another brisa that clearly supports Rav Yosef's position. Okay, who was Rabbi Yosef over here? Where did Rabbi Yosef go? One second. Rabbi Yosef wanted to prove that he was the one that says the whole thing. Again, trying again to give proof to Rabbi Yosef. That Rabbi Yosef says you need the full amount to go off of Egla Rufa. So we're going to try to bring another proof. Motzon abeis pagi vehimra alehem. If the rebellious sage found the great center at the base pagi, right? And he rebelled against them. And now the Brisa gives an example. And this is a black and white example. Kigon, for example, she also needed this egla. That the Sanhedrin went out to measure the distance for the calf. Or to add to this. So both. Uh-huh. Right? So now you see, it's a clear brisa that says they do go out for both things. So therefore the brisa ends. Yachol te hamrasa hamrasa. So you think, is the rebellion considered rebellion since he rebels against them outside of Yerushalayim? Talmud Lomar comes to say no, but comfortably, so you will rise and go up to the temple. Malamed Shamakum Gurma teaches us that the place is the cause. So therefore, we do have a proof that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does argue with them in the number and does say it's the entire amount, as you find an example of them all leaving. Because here's the problem. You have a brisa that says it explicitly, that they all go out.
Yeah.
Now, the brisa has to be like somebody. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda, and it can't be Rabbi, the other one, because one says three, and one says Shimon. One says three, one says five. Can't be. The only one we got left is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who didn't give us a number. So it must be he's the one. It's got to be attributed to somebody. So he must be the one. So it comes out, we now have a huge machlokes. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says not only not three, not five, the entire Sanhedrin, plus the king, plus the Kohen Gadol. That's a big deal. That's a public investigation, clearly. Two dots. Okay, now we continue with the next sugya. And this is going to have a little bit to do with what we're learning in the Rambam as well.
So this remains like that, our result.
It's a machlokas with no resolution. I just want to see if there's a letter over here. I don't think we all like him. But anyway, next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nimtza tamim bagal, if you find a corpse buried in a heap of stones, otoli balin, Elon, or he's hanging from a tree, we excluded them. Because it said it has to be on the ground. It has to be on the ground. You find the corpse on the ground. So if he's covered up by stones, he's not on the ground. He's in the ground. On a tree, he's on top of it. He's in the air. It's got to be on the ground, a corpse. So now this is not so simple. And now we're going to digress to another halacha that we're learning in the Rambam now. The laws of shikacha. And there's a number of laws when you're harvesting. When you harvest this time of year, the poor people are entitled to a number of agricultural gifts. Okay? And the question is, what kind of gifts, and it's lying in the field. And it's going to be a discussion, what if those, the crops are covered up as well? So we'll see a similar wording. Lema, let's say, so our Mishnah clearly says, since it says you find the corpse on the ground means on the ground, not in the ground. It says ba soda, or ba, the Mishnah learns it as means on. But ba could also mean in. It can mean in. The letter bays, it's not clear what it exactly means. The prefix bays could mean on, could be in. The Mishnah's learning on top, not in. We're going to have a machlokas now by these gifts to the poor people, where there's a discussion. So the Mishnah now says, let's say our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda Heave and not the Rabbanan, as we'll see in the following machlokas. The Tanya, we learn in a brisa the following. It says like this, the Torah obligates to leave certain gifts for the poor when you're harvesting. The Pasuk says, V'shachachta omer ba sode. And if you forget a sheaf of grain, if you forget a bundle, ba sode. Now what does ba sode mean? That's the question. On the field. Teach us prat to exclude latomon if it was concealed. Here's the full pasuk. When you reap your harvest in your field and you forget a sheaf, ba soda, here's translated on the field, you shall not go back to take it. It shall be for the convert, the orphan, the widow, so Hashem, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, if you forget a sheaf, you come back and say, oi, I forgot it. Too bad. You got to leave it for them. Now, but what if it was buried? It's covered up. Well, we said prat l'tamun, excluding tamun, that you could go back. You could go back. The law of shikha does not apply if it's buried. That's opinion number one. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda. because Rabbi Yehuda holds the shikacha has to be on top of the field. If it's covered, it's in the field. So you only have to give for what's on top of the field. Now this is exactly what our Mishnah has said by the corpse. The corpse has to be on the field, not in the field. So we're saying our Mishnah, and not like this next opinion. Say no. When it says ba sada, he learns it in the field, not on the field. Larabos es hatamun. This will include that which is buried, must go. The shikha applies, and it goes to the poor people. And therefore, this chachamim would not agree with what our Mishnah says. He would say, if a corpse was buried, you'd also be chayiv. Right, look, our Mishnah, which understands the term ba'adama, on the ground, to exclude a covered corpse, apparently concurs with Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa, who maintains the prefix bay should be understood to exclude covered objects rather than include them. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda and the sages disagree with the meaning of the prefix ba in the word ba sada. Rabbi Yehuda, it means on. The phrase on the field thus limits the law of shikha to sheaves that lie exposed on the field and are not buried in the field or otherwise covered by an object. Sages, however, interpret the prefix ba to mean in. Thus, the phrase in the field is expounded to include sheaves that are buried under the surface, and obviously what's on is also for sure chayiv. For according to sages, to interpret the word basa to mean in the field, and thus include covered sheaves in the law of shikha, we should also interpret the word ba'adama. Yeah, by the corpse, it says ba'adama to mean in the ground, not on it. Thus including corpses covered, corpses in the requirement of Eva Rufa. So we see our mission is not like a chavim. How do you learn the word ba? Our mission learns ba means on. While by the shikha is machlokes, on or in must not be like the chachamim. That's what Gemara assumes up to this point. Omar Rav comes along Rav and says, that's what Gemara assumes. Gemara says, no. Afilu teima rabbanan. You could even say this goes according to the rabbis. And the rabbis will say, you learn the bays, what it means, depending on the context of the subject matter. So even though by shikha, they learn the ba oretz means in the ground, but by a corpse, they'll learn that ba means on the ground. In other words, it's contextual, because bays can have multiple meanings. So he felt in one place the context would mean this, and one place the context would mean that. So maybe the mission could even be like the chachamim, because it's a different context. Let's read this inside. Hacha, over here, by Egla Rufa, Menyana Dekra, the letter will be expounded according to the context of the verse. And Hassam, over there, by shikacha, forgetting the stuff, mein yana dekra, you'll have to follow the context of the verse. Now let's do the context and see why we could say the rabbis could agree to even what it says in the Mishnah. Dichsiv, when it talks about a corpse, it says, ki yimotze chalal, when you find a corpse. Now the simple question is, when it says, ki yimotze, when you will find it, the implication of finding it would imply, hecha de mishtakach, wherever the corpse is found. Because it says, if you find. Finding is finding. So wherever you find it. So there, that's what it would imply. But that's the general meaning. But then it comes and says, ba'adama, ba'adama, now would imply a specific place. Why do you say ba'adama? Why don't you just say, if you find a corpse? Find a corpse. Find one. Why does it say ba'adama? You know, if you say find a corpse, it means, I guess, wherever you find a corpse. Wherever you find a corpse. Why does it say, in the ground? In the ground. So not wherever you find a corpse. So some places where you won't have the mitzvah, and that's when it's in the ground. That is clarifying. In other words, the word adama, the ground, what's it coming to say? If I already know, it says you find a corpse. So I'd find a corpse anywhere. So what's the word? Why would the word mean on the ground if I already would know that without even saying the word? Must be that word means in the ground, so it's excluding something that's in the ground. That's the context. Right? Rav contends that according to the rabbis, there's no self-evident meaning to the prefix beis. Can be interpreted both as in and on. Right? Now, the Egla Rufa passage, the word badama cannot be interpreted as in the land. Cannot. And teach that even covered corpses insisting over this law would have been the clear inference of the beginning of the verse without the addition of the word. The addition of this word must therefore be interpreted to exclude covered corpses. Rabbis therefore agree that in this case the word Badon must be meant on the land and not in it, because then it will exclude the corpse. It's saying you find it on top of the land. Why? To exclude what's in the land. That's the context. But for us, we're talking about forgetting bundles. Many articles, we go with what the context of the pasuk there says. There it says, "Ki tiktzor kitzircha basadcha v'shachachta oimer," when you reap your harvest in the field and you forget a sheaf. So now look what it says. When you're harvesting, now what is reaping? Reaping is you're cutting, right? And you forget a bundle. Well, that's interesting juxtaposition of words. You're harvesting. This is harvesting. It's not bundling. It doesn't say when you bundle your bundles, you forget a bundle. It says when you're harvesting and you forget a bundle, which is an interesting way of wording it. That must be telling us something. It's telling us that shikha dumi de katzer. Shikha must be like harvested grain. And what do we know about harvested grain? They can collect harvested grain too if you forget harvested grain. It's either when you harvest the grain and you're picking it up and you forget stalks, or you forget bundles. It's both. There's two aspects. So it has to be similar. It's connoting the forgetting of the bundles is like the threshing, cutting the wheat. So ma kotzer b'go, just like, how do you harvest? Don't you harvest something that's out in the open? Can you harvest something that's not in the open?
No.
So just like harvesting is out in the open, avshicha b'go, you'd think that now, that the forgetting would also have to be in the open, that the bundle would have to be in the open. Just like when you cut the sheaf, cut the stalk, it's in the open, and the shikha is in the same pasuk. I guess the shikha would have to be in the open. I guess that's to be told. That's the only way they can get it. But then Kasher Ramana comes to pasuk and says, ba sode, on the field, in the rabos esatamun, to include what is buried. That's what's saying, because I would have thought only on top.
Yeah.
So now, what do you need the word basada for? Must have to tell me the opposite. Meaning in the field, that even in the field, you're chayiv. Even in the field, you're chayiv. Okay, we'll stop over here.
Dealing with the hanging corpse.
Well, we said that it is all contextual. Okay, we'll continue next week, Amir Tzashem.